To get a greater understanding of how New Mexico is taking steps at preventing the spread of COVID-19, we are talking to state officials. Today, we are joined by Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales. Lieutenant Governor, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate the time to share information, to make sure that the public is aware of what we are doing, and to assure them that we're working constantly to protect every New Mexican as much as possible. Again, stressing staying at home, social distancing, all of those are key factors of helping us reducing the spread of this virus across the state.
Before we started rolling tape, you mentioned that you were actually in quarantine. Can you kind of share a little bit about that?
I have, yeah. Today's the last day of my self-imposed quarantine. I traveled to Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago to visit with our congressional delegation. And because of that, it was right at the time when we got our first confirmation of a positive test in New Mexico that we immediately asked our state employees, if you've traveled across state lines, especially to high traffic areas like New York, Washington, San Francisco, and other places like that, that you would self-quarantine. And so I want to make sure that we're practicing what we preach. I could have been tested. I could have made sure that I didn't have the virus. But we've been asking people that if you're not showing any symptoms, that you save those tests for people who are showing symptoms so they can get the treatment necessary. So I'm on my last day. It's been a challenge. But I can attest that too. When people are struggling with that, I've been through that myself, and I would ask that people would do the same to protect those around you.
Okay, now, since you brought it up, I want to talk about testing for COVID-19. Obviously, that's a major issue for a lot of people who are concerned about preventing the spread of the virus. Now, the first drive-through testing in Las Cruces, that took place, ended hours before it was scheduled due to running out of supplies. Can you give us an update on what the state is doing to provide more COVID-19 tests to New Mexicans?
Absolutely. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to people there in Donana County and in rural parts of New Mexico, because there has been a shortage of tests. And we've been pushing the federal government, who hasn't done a very good job of providing for these across the country. We want to make sure New Mexicans get all access to testing if they're showing symptoms. And I am personally grateful for people like Heath Hausman, Lori Martinez, Engage, others who have really had their boots on the ground there in Donata County that shared information saying there's a lack of supplies, there's a lack of testing, there's a lack of drive-through opportunities here. And when we brought that up to the state, obviously we want to do all we can. And so we're grateful with their activism that was able to get things there for the people of the state of New Mexico.
Okay, now how much longer do you think it's going to be before we can actually have testing available in every county in the state?
You know, this is continually that we're pushing and asking that there be more tests available. I don't have a definite time frame, but we're working diligently to make sure that that's a reality. Because what we do know is that even though there's 112 cases across the state, there's many more tests that are out there, but they've had such a backlog in getting those results back. But there's many others who are experiencing these symptoms that we want to get a true read of what actually is happening in the state. So we're working on this. I know that we get updates daily, and I want to see where we're at with that today.
With the public health emergency underway, thousands of New Mexicans have lost their jobs. The Albuquerque Journal reported that New Mexico U.S. Senator Tom Udall said the state of New Mexico will receive around $1.25 billion with the coronavirus stimulus legislation that he supported. There are probably many healthcare facilities that are keeping an eye on this legislation. Now, rural healthcare clinics have many challenges already. So what is the state doing to address the rural healthcare issues that are being faced during this crisis?
Yeah, the healthcare issues are huge, and I watch this closely, having a background working in a hospital in the past as well. And so I've been in close communication with the federal government, people like Melanie Goodman that works there for Senator Udall, people that work for Senator Heinrich have been in constant communication of what's in that stimulus bill. As we know, it passed late last night, $2 trillion, and you're correct with the amount that would benefit New Mexico. This is absolutely critical, because we know that healthcare is struggling as it is, But with the demand that's in place right there, especially with rural parts of the state, that assistance is needed to ensure that we're keeping the doors open and that we're providing services, especially if the surge of needed beds continues to be on the rise.
The Silver City Daily Press recently reported that Gila Regional Medical Center, your former employer, is heavily depending on some federal help because they are facing financial crisis, and this pandemic has further impacted their ability to provide services, or they've seen their regular services decline. Can you kind of give us an update? Is this something you're paying attention to, and are they going to be helped with this legislation?
Yeah, so again, as I've been watching it closely for hospitals all across the state, I've been watching Gila Regional's finances for years now and concerned about some of the decisions that they've made, some of the status that they've been under and not getting full reimbursement, but especially right now when they're down to, from what I'm hearing, possibly 6 weeks cash on hand. That's a vital service that's important as for the whole region, especially in the southwest part of the state. So we watch that closely. Senator Udall's staff, Senator Heinrich's staff, Congresswoman Thotis Small, all were in contact with me yesterday, giving me updates, making sure that we can provide support and resources for all our hospitals. But looking at a hospital like Gila Regional, who is near to possibly having to close their doors, that's a huge concern. So we're watching that closely. I think that was $150 billion that is going to come directly to New Mexico. But because Gila Regional is also county-owned, there could be some additional relief that could be going there because it is a county-owned facility and local governments did receive money in that stimulus package.
Okay, now I want to move on and talk about education. Obviously, you've spent plenty of time in the classroom as a former teacher. On March 13th, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham announced that the New Mexico K through 12 public schools will be closed for 3 weeks to minimize the risk of spreading COVID-19. Districts are working on ways to keep meal services in place for students. With thousands of New Mexicans losing their jobs just in the past week, is the public school system prepared to expand meal services to help the districts for students who may now need a meal due to their parents recently losing a job?
More now than ever, we need to continue to provide that service. When the governor came out and she ordered PD to close the schools down for 3 weeks, there was a lot of questions. And I know that I had received a lot of calls, a lot of complaints, a lot of people that were unsure why we were doing that. As you saw, that New Mexico, in fact, was a leader in taking charge to protect our educators, protect their children, and to prevent the further spread. Now other states have done the same thing. But even at that, when our decision was being made, is we wanted to make sure that we weren't impacting any educator's income and wanted to ensure that districts were going to continue to provide that income, not only for educators, but also for those hourly workers who provide services to those schools.
Yeah, you mentioned hourly. What about part-time employees?
Correct, yeah, and those are just treated as we would with all of our other employees, because those are individuals that that are providing the service to all of our students. And that includes our custodians, our bus drivers, those that are providing that service. And so we're grateful that immediately our school districts have jumped in and they've been providing that support. The other part was, as you mentioned, was making sure that kids still received access to meals. Many of them, that is their only meals that they get through the day, and we had to make sure and take care of that. So fortunately, with all of our providers across the state, they're out there working with nonprofits, with churches, with our school systems to provide meals to our children. And we can't thank them enough, and we're going to have to sustain that. If school has to be delayed longer, if for whatever reason that schools won't come back into session this school year, we want to make sure and address those basic needs just as we're doing now.
As I mentioned, you're a former teacher, and you were heavily involved with creating this administration's public education department. The Yazzie Martinez lawsuit ordered the state of New Mexico to improve education resources for at-risk students across the state. Now, the state has invested hundreds of millions of dollars in addressing this lawsuit and the needs within it. but yet the state is asking the district court to dismiss the lawsuit. Why now, during a time of crisis when school is being closed and students aren't in classrooms, is the state asking to dismiss this lawsuit?
Yeah, that's a great point right there. I know that a lot has been invested, and I know being in the legislative part, whenever the Yazzie Martinez lawsuit came in, the need to continually provide for our students is absolutely critical. As far as the amount of dollars that have been put in, the state does feel that it's been sufficient to meet the needs there. I do think that this is going to be ongoing discussion, seeing what else needs to be done. But at this point, the public education department felt that they have done all they can and didn't want to be under the rule of the court system, but rather to continue to operate working with districts and the legislature to provide those needed resources.
But with this request from the public education department and the state, as a teacher and somebody who knows what is really happening on the ground, I'm kind of curious why the state is doing that now. Do you really think there's been enough time to evaluate if the amount of dollars being placed to meet this lawsuit mm-hmm. are really being effective?
Yeah, and I think that it was a lot of questions that came to me, exactly that, is why was this done? Why was it done so early? Again, from a state perspective, is the resources that have been put there has been significant, in addition to further language that was put in for oversight to make sure that the districts were complying all they can to get those dollars specifically to at-risk students, to students of special education, English language learners, those type of students. And with those added language that was in place, I think that we can show that the dollars are meeting the need there. There can always be more done, and I agree, and we'll continue to advocate for more to be done. But we want to work with the legislature, with the administration, and the public education department to make sure that we're not being ruled by court, but rather to do that in a way that we've been seeing effective over the last two sessions.
Another question. The Albuquerque Journal reported that a Santa Fe public defender, Jennifer Burrell, had tested positive for coronavirus and was working from home. But Burrell said that, quote, it's ridiculous that upwards of 50% of the jail population are there for drug and alcohol crimes. She continues on saying that it's ridiculous that they are still in jail. With this public health emergency, should people in jail for drug and alcohol crimes still be there when they are at great risk for getting this virus and also possibly even spreading it to others who may be serving time or working at the jails?
Yeah, and that's been brought up, and I appreciate those comments that have been made because we're doing all we can, first of all, within our corrections department to limit any potential spread of that. I know that our secretary is working diligently to make sure that we are addressing that as much as possible. Whether the court systems come in and they decide or recommend that we let people out, essentially, that's going to be for another discussion. But I do want to assure the public that we are doing all we can to prevent the spread and taking every precaution within our detention centers across the state.
I want to jump back to the first question I asked you, just to make sure we get some clarification. A lot of people still concerned about testing in New Mexico. Right now, I mean, do you really have an idea? Does the state really have a plan on how it's going to get more tests out? I mean, could you just let us know exactly what we're looking at in regards to testing? Obviously, there's been a lot of frustration for folks, especially here in southern New Mexico, regarding testing. So where exactly are we at with testing?
So currently, as we know, there's around 17,000 tests that have been administered across New Mexico. That's not nearly enough for the amount of need that's out there. As you mentioned on the drive-up services, just how quickly that filled up right there, I think that shows the reason for more testing that needs to be done. We'll continually push that we get more tests here into the state of New Mexico. We are fortunate here to have access to our labs who are able to turn those around as quick as possible, but we've got to have those tests. So the plan right now is continually pushing for more tests, working through the Department of Health to make sure that we can get those to those high-need areas, and especially in those rural parts of the state, like I said, it's so important to me and you and others.
So right now, what are the discussions like within the administration on how long it may be before every county and state has testing options?
We're hoping within days that that's going to be something that we can get out. Again, that's where it's collaboration and communication with the federal side, with our federal delegation to get those resources down here. It is somewhat that we are awaiting for further information that comes down to us, and then get that out to the public as much as possible. As indicated just yesterday, how we try to get that information out to the public with our emergency alert system in place now.
Yeah, many of us have heard that, and I want to touch on the issue now of employment in New Mexico.
Sure.
What do you have to say to New Mexicans who are facing job loss and an unforeseen future right now with this pandemic?
This is tough for all New Mexicans. I hear daily from business owners. I hear people who are frustrated trying to get the unemployment benefits. I understand that, and I do assure communication daily with our Secretary of Workforce Solutions, Bill McCamley, who him and his staff are just working to make sure they can meet the demand. The demand's going to continue to increase, but I also know that that with the support that's necessary with the $2 trillion package that was passed, there has been discussion of even increasing more of those benefits and increasing it for even a month longer for those people who have been impacted. And so I just, again, want to assure that we are doing all we can. We are going to get information out. If people have questions, my recommendation is going to the newmexico.gov website. That'll lead you, whatever question you may have, that's a one-stop shop. That'll lead you to other sources of information, whether you're a small business owner, whether you're a person that's been impacted, because it is, and the demand is there. People have told me that they've had to wait for hours on hold on the phone systems. I would encourage people, if at all possible, use the website, utilize the services there that can get you the benefits that you are entitled to.
Okay, my final question. Obviously, a lot of folks in New Mexico are really concerned about not only job loss, but also staying healthy with this pandemic. The governor has put a stay-at-home public health order in place. This is coming at a time where we're hearing mixed signals from the White House. President Trump has gone on the record and saying he's working to get the U.S. back to work, get the economy moving. What's the administration's take on what they're hearing from the White House in regards to dealing with this pandemic?
We've come too far and had too many decisions that have been made over the last couple of weeks to go backward. We saw in the state that we had our first reported death. We want to continue to save lives. I think it's reckless for the president and those who think that we're going to put the economy and those type of things in the forefront over public health and public safety. We know that it's tough, but we're going to continue to push that we keep New Mexicans safe, practice social distancing, and keep people at home. We don't want to have more deaths occur, and I think that it's important that people recognize that in New Mexico, we're so far ahead of other states. It's now's not the time to go backward, and now's not the time to increase the potential for spread of this virus.
Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales, thank you so much for joining us, and we're happy to hear you're doing all right in your final day of quarantine.
Thank you, and appreciate your time, Anthony. Thank you for all you do.